Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to EMP, and it is Anti-Poverty Week. So today we'll be reading from Deuteronomy 15. Okay, so we're going to do Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this morning as well as this week, God, and even just this Sunday, the message that was shared, and just even the challenge that our outreach team brought to us, God. And we just pray, Lord, for this time of sharing as well, Lord. I pray that whatever is on your heart, God, whatever you desire, Lord, that we would be able to just receive all that, Lord, and be transformed. We just offer you this time. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as you know, our church, we just had our outreach team present, and if we have, I think our outreach team, the total people involved probably is about, Can when you get, okay, 20 people? 20 people. Yeah? Huh? Okay, 20-ish people. And our church is about 300 to 400 people. So that's about, my math is 200. Like 10%? Yeah, less than 10%, 5%. I'm just rounding really generously. My point is, the majority of us aren't part of this ministry, right? So here's what I feel like most people might say. Maybe some of you might relate. I know it's good to help the poor, but I just don't care enough. I don't know why, right? Even, I think, our colleagues in our workplace who might not be of any religion, they'll probably still say the same thing, which is, of course it's important to help, right? And even if they don't really believe it, they would have the EQ high enough to at least say it, right? Because it's just the general consensus that, yes, we should help those less fortunate, right? Let's be selfless. So the question is, because I ended with, I don't know why, which is like, yeah, I care, but I don't know why. The first point is, why don't we do it? My answer is self-love. And when I'm talking about self-love, I'm not saying it's negative in the sense of like we're supposed to think very lowly of ourselves, because we are valued very highly because we are children of God, right? So our value is so high as we are sons and daughters. In that way, but when I'm talking about self-love, I'm talking about loving yourself, making yourself the center, the priority. And in the Bible, there is actually almost no teaching or mention of how to love yourself, because it comes quite natural, right? If anything, we're all really good at it. So don't be offended and think, oh, how dare Kenny think I love myself. We all love ourselves. It's very natural. If anything, how it's mentioned is indirectly when it's talking about the command, love your neighbor as yourself. That's really the reference. That's the standard. We should love our neighbor so much so of how much we love ourselves. So when we're thinking about loving ourselves, and even in the context of outreach, I was thinking, it's actually all relationships, right? Like you could, instead of calling local outreach, you could call it diverse networking. Who wants to be part of the diverse networking group, right? Even though, of course, you do things like some people give money. You know, we have stuff like Igape, which is teaching English, or you know, some people bake the brownies for SP Lights and cookies. All those things really are just a means to building a relationship. It's all relationship. And, you know, we talk about our Christian life, and it's all about our relationship with God, that revelation that God is real. But it's all relationships. What I mean is, and how that manifests in our self-love is we have different circles, right? But usually, in most cases, our circles reflect what we can also receive back. So probably our tightest-knit circle is our social circle, which can also involve family. And then if we go a little bigger, then we have our family circle, because, you know, sometimes family is not our natural social circle, but we're just born into it, but it's blood. And then we have another outer circle, which would be maybe our church community, and then we have our probably colleagues, and then beyond that are the strangers and, you know, those in poverty. And the farther out those circles go, the extent of what we receive back is less and less and less. And it's weird because everyone, though we love ourselves, the degree is so different, right? you hear stories of, I mean, we have our outreach team who are very loving, obviously. But you also see even people with their own family. You would think, okay, I'll take care of my own family. But there are stories of those. You know, you hear stories about, you know, like something happens with, you know, old, like parents who are really old and they can't take care of themselves, and their children don't even take care of them, right? They don't call them. You hear that a lot. Even when I did the St. Barnabas, I talked to some old ladies, and they're actually not poor. They actually have their own house, their own flat, but they're at St. Barnabas because they're so lonely, and not even their own children visit them. And they said, I remember this one lady said to me, yeah, I just don't want to keep nagging them or calling them to come visit, right? So sad. Even their own blood, right, they are unwilling. So it's this self-love, and even as I'm sure many of you who are leaders or house church leaders, it can be such a, it can be like pulling teeth to get people to serve. Right, whether it be organizing dinners, it's like, oh, can you guys organize dinner? Or even just getting people to RSVP to dinner. That even is like a chore. Or for whatever reason, offering prayer is probably the most difficult. And to me, it's the most easy, right? Because there's, you don't have to spend money. You don't need to, you know, I mean, of course you prepare your heart, right? But the amount of preparation is relatively smaller to, say, clean up or snacks. But everyone, not everyone, but there are times when people just refuse, right? They go, oh, no, I don't want to. So, of course, I always say to them, why? Is it about you? Is it about you? Because obviously the offering prayer is about God, right? You're the one who's publicly declaring God's faithfulness. And inevitably, the root of oftentimes is it's the public speaking, right? It's being up here, everyone's looking at you. What if I say something wrong? What if I don't sound eloquent? What if I freeze up? And yes, it's really all about them, right? And in some ways, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's how do you respond to it, right? Even I remember the first time I did preaching or EMP or even something like job interview, you're so nervous, and then you're processing things in your head. It's not about me. Don't make it about myself. Make it about God. But you still feel the same way, right? So it is a if that is how you feel, I'm not saying there's something wrong with you. If you get nervous or things that are really important kind of impact you, that's not to say you're not faithful, but it's how you feel, right? And it is a process. So why don't we do it? It's self-love. And the one aspect I was thinking about was like, well, what is a characteristic of those who are actually part of our outreach team? And I can say they're really loving. And their care for their own personal family is actually really important. Just like Jeff and Janella, I see that in their family. You know, they see their father often. They talk about their sister, right? Like Yvaine, Rainey, you know, Chung. I actually hear them talk about, outside of outreach, I hear they talk about their family a lot, right? And this is just an extension of that. So what is the solution if you love yourself, if too much self-love? I don't really have an exact answer, but I think the only answer, because I even think about those people in my life, the young adults, and some of them a little self-centered or a little too much loving themselves, and I think, what do I do about them? Do I just, because it really, it's not like if I yell at them, they'll change, right? The only thing that can happen is it needs to be a touch of God. Basically, as they experience God and as they love God and pursue that love relationship, they will be transformed. And even, you know, self-love isn't manifested with just pride and arrogance and just like, you know, I don't want to do stuff. It can even also be manifests as insecurities, right? Even when you're very insecure, you're concerned, but basically what happens is you're very concerned about what other people think, how people perceive you, about it's still a self-love because it's still all about you. And so how do you overcome that? It is a touch of God. And it happens. I've been here SP 10 years. I've known many, my accountability, my brothers and sisters, many who have maybe they've been proud, or even those who have been insecure, they've totally been transformed. But my tip would be, don't be focused on the transformation. Like, of course, you want to be secure and be confident and be selfless and all those things, but don't be focused on that, right? Because I've had that also come. How do I become confident? How do I, and I can give like, okay, you got to stop doing this, stop doing that, you know, respond this way, respond that. But really, it needs to be an inner transformation, because as you draw near to God, it's inevitable. You become not like God, but you the character of God becomes like you. It happens in friendships. It happens in, you know, relationships, husbands and wives. They become more like each other. It happens for all of us with Pastor Sam, right? You know, even we've had comments that many of the pastoral staff, especially Ricky, preach it. It's like a Pastor Sam here. But I think anybody from SP, if you've been here for a while, you've listened to Pastor Sam, you've interacted with him, he's our, you know, leader, that if you came up here, you would probably preach a little like him. And that, so that happens with God, right? So suddenly, the more you draw near to him, suddenly his limitless love that he can give out freely and that we've received freely, we can also extend that freely. So why don't we do it? It's self-love. So my second point is, why should you do it? Well, first, it's that this matters to God, obviously. And all these brothers and sisters who are of poverty and who can't even reciprocate necessarily, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even though we often associate value with your success, right? But we know that's not true, because there are many very hard-working people who are not necessarily successful in the world. And we know of many very successful people who aren't necessarily hard-working. And it really is just the lot that you have received in life, right? It's the opportunity you have. So therefore, that should not define your value. And it really, your value is as children of God. And as brothers and sisters, we should care for each other. That's number one. Another point is, it's a blessing, right? Oftentimes we think if we are to be used, we're just being used. That's it. Like, oh, we just got to obey and, you know, suck it up and just do it and get through it. But that's not true either, because first of all, God, it's not that like if we don't go, suddenly those people are screwed, right? Because basically, God is still God. He could touch them supernaturally and just, you know, have things materialize, which is great, but he actually wants that revelation of him to come through us, through relationship, through other brothers and sisters as well. And it's a blessing, because when God uses you, or basically whenever we obey him, it's actually for us as well. I mean, of course, he wants us to be used, but he wants to bless us as well. And as I was talking to Janella, she shared, what you receive often, you're always blessed. You're always blessed. But what you receive is more than you could imagine. What I mean is, oftentimes we want a little bit more knowledge, right? So, you know, oh, turns out the iPhone or Android for some of you, but, you know, there's this new feature on iPhone 8. Check this out. And you're like, wow, I didn't know I could copy and paste. I'm just saying, hypothetically. So it's just like extra knowledge. But the what you receive from doing this outreach is, it's actually a whole change, right? It's like a revelation. It's not just knowledge, but it's a revelation what you receive. And it totally shifts your mindset. And Janie was telling me of this story that actually Mon, she was showed her a YouTube video. It was really cool. Basically, this is like secondhand information, so I might not get this video correctly. But it was basically this homeless person, they documented it. They were in this like pizza parlor, and this homeless person, oh my gosh, sorry. Anyway, it's a great story. The pizza parlor, and this homeless person goes around to these different people who are eating pizza. And he's like, oh, excuse me, can I have a slice? Can I have a slice? Can I have a slice? And nobody says yes. No one offers. So finally, this YouTube, whoever is kind of trying to like document this, they buy this homeless person a pizza, like a whole, you know, circular pizza with many slices, and they just give it to him. And then they document, they just start documenting him, and then I guess maybe other people, these homeless people, come up to him and say, hey, can I have a slice of pizza? And he's like, yeah, sure, sure, have a slice, no problem, just take one. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, these people who have so much, who can afford so much, are unwilling to share. But this person who has so little is so freely, so free to give, right? And I presume the reason they're showing it, it shows for, like, it's so powerful, YouTube. But even just watching it, hopefully you're like, oh, wow, I need to change. I need to, if even this person who has so little, it can be so free, so loving, so detached from the things of this world, shouldn't I, right? And I think that's the type of experiences you receive when you go out on outreach. And the last reason, besides it being a why you should do it, is simply out of obedience. It's in the verse, it says, therefore I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. But you got to obey out of love. So some excuses you would hear is, oh, I don't want to obey it because it's not in love. You know, I got to wait for the heart to come before I obey. So that's wrong. You should obey and do it and then find the heart. And if you are obeying, it's not enough just obey. It's always, once you obey, you need the heart as well. So as faith without action is dead. So you got to do something, right? That's the challenge. That was the challenge on Sunday, you know, with those little papers. We got to do something. I'm not saying necessarily saying, oh, we, because we all have different things. The point is beyond just poverty. I mean, this is the topic right now, but we need to be open to however God leads us in the kingdom of God. And we got to do it out of love. So we'll pray. And during this time, if what I said about self-love kind of convicts you, then I just pray and hope that you would repent and then just really just fix your eyes on God. When I need to be transformed by God, whether it be through forgiveness, my pride, I just repent, and then I will just worship God and draw near to Him.
Thank you.
As Eunice maybe plays it one more time, I just felt like just God wanted us to submit. And what I mean by submit is not He wants us to just let go of things because, you know, out of because He's forcing us to, but He wants us to be with Him and that there would be no hindrance between our relationship with Him. And just as we've had these messages on tithing and generosity, you know, tithing is 10%, but really what we owe God is 100%. You know, we give our everything to God. And that doesn't extend just to finances, but every area of our life. So I just want to give this opportunity for you to really submit anything that you feel is hindering you. Just completely trusting 100% God, where things that perhaps you have taken control for yourself or taken some of that control. You know, whether it be relationship, whether it be career, whether it be areas of forgiveness or your family, all those things. We still can trust God with it. Just take some time to offer that, and then just declare it through the song again. I feel like as some of you have responded and submitted to God, just whatever that has been really hindering you in the fully trusting relationship with Him, I feel like God just wants to respond now as well. So we're just gonna go straight into your quiet time now. And so I'll just close in prayer. Father God, Father, we just are so grateful for your unrelenting love for us, where you always want more of us. That is your heart. That you just want to be so intimate and close with us, God. And I just pray just over this time as we seek you, Lord, that you would really come and minister, Lord, that we would know that you are with us, that we could just have that utmost trust in you, God, and peace, God, for we know that we are in your hands, Lord, that you're the one in control, God, not us. So we just thank you and we love you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you just to go before the Lord and let Him minister to you. Have a good day.